Hello, ladies and gentlemen.
Welcome.
Or whatever.
Whatevs.
You're here or listening or not. We're talking to
welcome to episode 5 of the Uncanny Valley Podcast.
Episode 5.
This is Mike Kia.
Fucking hell.
Mac Leck.
And Billiam.
Fantabulous. So leading us in is an older Marilyn Manson song called The Death Song from Hollywood.
Hollywood. No future.
Or something.
Something or other.
Yes, and we are enjoying, well, I don't know, I wouldn't say the word enjoying, actually, on this one.
I think it's better than the last one we had.
Which one was the last one we had?
That was the
Green can, right? No.
The cream something or other.
This was the last one, right?
Zadam.
Wait, which one was that one?
Did you have that one?
I don't remember, did I?
I don't know.
He might have been still drinking absinthe.
Oh, story of my life.
I don't know. I think this stuff still tastes like salty steak sauce.
It's not salty to me. It's weird.
I don't know. Maybe it's just mine.
He's used to cum in his mouth. Yeah, it says Slow Elk from Big Sky Brewing, which is one of my favorite brewing companies. I likes it.
It's not horrible. It just tastes like you got a mouthful of steak.
That's a good thing in some instances.
I just wanted beer. I wanted one steak.
Well, there's all kinds of beer tastings, though.
Yeah. I think it's going to be better than the other one that we got.
Which one?
The Land of the Red, or whatever the fuck.
Oh, yeah. Dawn of the Red.
Dawn of the Red. Yeah, there you go.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, we got a red IPA.
They're two different beers. For later. So.
It's like a Dawn of the Dead theme like type thing, but it's Dawn of the Red.
Dawn of the Red.
Yeah, I just fucking said it.
Jesus.
Oh, my God.
Fuck.
Alzheimer's kicking in early.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, rest in peace, Gene Wilder, by the way.
Yes, absolutely.
It's unfortunate.
Complications of Alzheimer's. Did you know he had Alzheimer's before? Was that announced? Because I know he said he was keeping it quiet, but
I don't know.
I thought he was sick for a while.
He didn't know it.
He looked sick. What a dick.
Don't. If he did, he didn't remember.
Glorious thing about getting old. You meet new people every day.
The worst thing about being told you have Alzheimer's is that it doesn't have it just the one time.
What do you mean I got Alzheimer's? Next day, what do you mean I got Alzheimer's?
Or as some dumb people call it, I got old-timers.
I got the old-timers.
Old-timers. Yeah. Like, fucking read a book, for fuck's sake. Jeez, it's ridiculous.
Yes. So.
So, welcome to episode 5, and this is actually episode 3 of our... And our final part.
It's about fucking time.
Yeah, of the sex trilogy.
So we can go on to something else, even though it's really going to be
trilogy.
The same.
Yeah.
It's the same, but different.
Yeah, I think we'll always find a way to just merge sex into everything, literally and figuratively.
It's a strong
theme
in the horror thing.
It's a strong theme, is the sex. It's also delightful. I don't know about you.
So quick favor for everybody who is listening, please make sure you guys are changing... Or not changing.
Your diapers.
Change your diapers because you stink. Make sure you guys are sharing the podcast.
Where did you get changing from sharing?
I don't know. I was thinking about changing for something.
What the hell? please share our madness with other people.
Just share it. You know, it takes like 5 seconds, not even that, just to click like and share and, you know, tell somebody about it, you know.
Yes. Pass it around. I mean, just on Facebook, just... Share it to your friends. Any chance you get, anytime we have a quick upload or whatever, just share it. Anything, just get the message out.
We'll give you shout outs, whatever you want, you know, something like that. I want to try out the thing, you know, with the bands, you know. So if you know any bands or you are a band, and you want to be heard a little bit more, you know, we'll put you in the podcast.
Would you like to describe that a bit more? Possibly even read the thingy that you had written out for it.
The thingy.
Yes.
Shit. I was actually going to make a, I think it's pronounced Patreon.
Yeah,
account.
Patreon. Patreon. Yep.
I was thinking about making a Patreon
page for this. To get money?
Basically, people, if they like it and they want to support it, because we're running a really shitty Toshiba laptop and Chromebook that's all fucked up.
A Lisa's freaking mixer.
Yeah,
and
they can subscribe to donate like $1 a month. And it goes to benefit.
It's still free, though. You guys can still.
Yeah, no,
you know,
it's
don't
not,
let it
it's not a charge
you.
To listen.
We're
but
not
it's
about
just
to
if you want to support something. And we don't even have one yet. It was just an idea of
Oh, definitely.
Yeah. If we went that territory too, like Patreon supporters, anything like that, we would
always
have additional
content yeah. or
that's something
items
we'll talk about down the road. Yeah.
Maybe a t-shirt or stickers or something like that.
I think we're too much
in our infancy now.
Yeah, literally infancy.
Well, yeah. We're, you know, four more than most podcasts get to.
Yeah.
Basically the post that I put out last week was going out towards artists, musicians, writers, anything that's like kind of independent artists.
And
you know?
Creative.
Yeah. You know, basically, you know, you have a chance to get heard, you know, put your stuff in there. We're all coming out of backgrounds of music and art and whatnot. You want to be verbatim here?
Yeah.
All right. So, yeah. Again, what I just said, we're all coming from a background of music, arts, and production in general. The host of the Uncanny Valley podcast.
It helps when you know the name of your own podcast.
Right?
Or you can read.
It's tiny.
That's shit.
Yes, we fully understand how difficult it can be to promote yourself.
Mike's having hot flashes over here.
Dying over here.
Why don't you move?
I can't.
Just scoot over.
Just hurry the fucking speed
God off. Damn it. All right, so sharing common interests. This brings us to an offer for an opportunity of promotion. The only strings attached is that we have a few tasks for you, comprised of a little bit of your time and effort. Not too hard, right? Everyone can afford a little bit of that. Step one would be sharing the Uncanny Valley podcast page on your personal page. And step two would be submitting a link of whatever you want to be featured in our podcast and our page. And step three, once we do pick you, go ahead and make another post, you know, telling people when they can listen to it and check it out. Let me see. Not only will we feature you on our page, but we'll also insert your selections directly onto the podcast itself so people can hear how awesome you are. We want to thank you in advance for taking the opportunity to can't fucking talk. We want to thank you all in advance.
We're professionals here.
For taking the time to read and consider this proposed opportunity. Basically, if you've made it past that, you know, go ahead and just give us a like and a share if you aren't any of those.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And yeah, you know, hopefully we can work with everyone who wants to be heard.
Yeah, I mean, the ideal thing is no matter what your art is, whether it be music, if you're actually an artist, if you're an actor and you have a play or something going up, I mean, we want to get you on the podcast. We want to feature your art. We want to feature your work on our page. And all we want to do is we just want to cross promote. So we want to help you guys. We want you guys to help us. We just want to share the love all around.
Good community support.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, we're not asking anything for it. We just want some love. I think is all. We just want love.
Yeah, if you want to take it one step further, you know, and you want to be a guest, you know, go ahead and you know, hit one of us up, and we can arrange that.
We can arrange it. Yes. Yeah.
The scheduling is getting a little bit better.
The what?
The scheduling is getting a little bit.
Yeah, we're trying to hammer it down. Yeah. We're getting a little bit better at it, but yes. I think we're also going to try to go into eventually. Occasionally, like commentaries and things like that of films and TV shows or whatever, just for extra bullshit content. And then
video
we want to start
streaming.
Let's plays. Yeah, I want to do some Let's plays because there's actually a lot of psychological horror films that have come out throughout the last couple decades that hasn't got a lot of notoriety, hasn't got a lot of attention. I mean, you hear about the Silent Hills and you hear about the Resident Evils of the world, but you don't really hear about the D's.
There's so many other games that are fantastic that deserve horror fans' attention.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's a matter of just, like, we're just going to fuck around, play, and probably be drinking and being stupid about it. So
even if you don't want to listen or watch the Let's Plays, get an idea or a suggestion for the game and just try it out yourself.
Yeah. And then lastly, too, we're always taking suggestions for film topics and analysis. Anything you guys want us to talk about, any films, any TV shows that kind of fits the mold of what we discuss and how you would like us to analyze it in our own retarded, funky way, that is what we are here for. So anytime you guys want to do that, feel free to.
Very, very good.
That being said, it is time to end the saga that is the sex saga, the sex trilogy, that was originally began and started by Hellraiser.
See?
Yep. And then, Billy, what was next?
I have no idea.
Oh, my God. I swear to God, we have to remind him of what he did the week before every week.
We do.
This isn't just like an uncommon thing. Are you looking it up?
Huh?
All he does is drive. So
I do. I don't. Not. I listen to everybody's podcast but our own.
He's so zoned out.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
The second one was Nightmare on Elm Street Part 2, Freddy's Revenge.
Gang.
That one was, yeah. That one was much more like
that
we talked about the LGBTQ community and about that that whole scene and how it's pretty essential in queer cinema, but often overlooked. It's just being a pretty cool film in and of itself. But we are going to end it with arguably the best made of those three.
Yeah.
I think by a long shot. Yes. I mean, I don't know. Billy's got fucking stupid taste, so he might think, oh, no, part two of Nightmare on Elm Street was pretty fucking tits. It was pretty tits.
Man tits, but...
It was man tits, but it was tits nonetheless.
It's a manatee.
Yeah, so of course we are going to talk about 1979 Ridley Scott's Alien, which was a fucking film that was really kind of ahead of its time, but I think it was one of the first like serious horror sci-fi crossovers. They've been doing it for decades, even like post-World War II cinema where science fiction kind of took hold, you know, in the Cold War era. You know, with the Ed Woods of the time in the 60s, moving in with Roger Corman and a lot of his sci-fi epics and monster movies and stuff like that. But I think those were meant to be campy. Those were meant to be like the super basic of the social commentary and just literally as batshit insane as possibly, like imaginable. But Ridley Scott, this is he British? Is he Scottish? I can't say Ridley Scott.
British.
This is stupid. Okay. Is he British? Okay.
I believe he's British.
Yeah, so this comes this fucking bloke.
bloke.
who's
such a bloke.
Who decides to mend the science fiction atmosphere with that of horror. Kind of like a, I don't know, it was kind of like a slasher in space before slashers became kind of popular.
I don't know, the whole thing seemed to be just a, like a constant rise of tension for the last little...
Full tension of really showcasing... how scary something can be when you can't see it and not actually really showing a lot of... I can't remember how much screen time the Xenomorph actually got, but it was a very low amount.
Yeah, I mean, the majority of the first half of the film was all insinuated. It's a lot of exposition and kind of getting you in that atmosphere of claustrophobia, people being in space. It got to a point, there's been so many movies, especially home invasion films and Psycho and stuff like that, where you don't feel safe in your house and things like that, but you'd seen it enough on movies to where it kind of became cliche almost, and then Halloween kind of reinvented that a year prior. But
in
space,
movies came out?
No one can fucking hear you scream, though. So.
Yeah. I mean, there's been tons of space alien monster types of things. I mean, fuck, Jason's been in space.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
So it was Leprechaun. Leprechaun was in space.
Leprechaun in space, yeah. So everyone, you know, wants to venture out, you know. But, it's definitely kind of cool, though. You see you get a little bit of progression from the alien throughout the movie. And, you know,
you get to see the little tyke grow up, you know. It's good.
Yeah, it's getting so big.
Yeah, and then, I mean, we will discuss the parts and how this plays into... sex and how that is a overarching theme in this film.
A lot of people
don't kind of catch up on it. I think it's fairly blatant in some areas. Some people don't catch it, but it is kind of one of those things that it does fit in the sex trilogy that we were discussing, so it makes sense. But without further ado, here is 1979's Alien. Thank you. Okay, so the first thing I want to talk about is my reason for picking that particular trailer. Because of all the trailers we pick on here, there's always ones that have dialogue and that kind of discuss at least the plot to a certain extent and have voiceovers and cuts and things like that. But The Alien, that was the original trailer that was played in theaters when it came out, and it doesn't have any dialogue. What?
I was just saying this new IPA smells fucking gross.
Do you drink it yet?
I'm not an IPA guy at all.
It's a strong
Absolutely
IPA.
Absolutely not. And I could smell it. It's a fucking strong IPA.
Does it smell like weed?
No.
Oh, it doesn't? Okay.
No. It's smooth, but it still has, you know, it's got a lingering bite in there. But yeah, this is the Dawn of the Red. But
Dawn of the Red.
So.
That's a sweet IPA.
But it's got a little bite there. Like it lingers for a minute.
But it's good, though. It's not bitter. A lot of IPAs are bitter. This one's kind of got like a sweet finish to it. He's fucking about to throw up.
Can't do it.
I could do it, but it's not in. What's this not as enjoyable as the
it's
other.
Like the third week in the row, we just keep giving him gross alcohol.
Yeah.
First it was the absinthe. Last week it was the shitty beers you had.
My own fucking scotch from now on.
Yeah.
Scotch.
Yeah. Let's keep
that,
it simple.
That reminds me. I forgot to. I was gonna buy some, but I forgot. I was gonna pick up some Crown, but.
What kind?
Just regular Crown.
You should get the apple. We haven't had it yet.
Yes, we did. Usually the black is on sale for the same price as regular. So
pretty sure we had the apple.
No, me. Apple just barely came out like 6 months ago.
I've never had it.
Never had it. Pause.
We had maple.
I know we had the maple.
Maple, yep.
For sure.
And
I've had the black. I've had the
black
single
cast 16.
Yep.
Regular.
Special reserve. Mm-hmm. Yep.
You had the rye at my house.
Yep. I had the rye. But no, not the apple.
No apple, huh?
No apple. So yeah.
I'm just gonna. I'm
it's and it's normally on sale for like $20.
Probably just sweet apple taste.
It could be, but it's we won't know because we haven't fucking had it yet.
Like warm apple pie.
Gross. All right. Tangent man strikes again.
Boom.
Where was I?
So yeah, back to Jaws in space.
Jaws in. Oh yeah.
I can kind of see the connection of Jaws in space. Very much so, but
it's just a shark just flying further out in space because he can't stop.
But it doesn't pose a threat because it doesn't go inside and you just see it like passing by like a fucking motorist, like that's stranded on the side of the road with a flat tire. It's just a fucking great white just chilling as you're just passing it by.
It's like is that a shark? That's a shark.
And like the special effects is just like a plastic shark on a string. And they just put it in front of front projection.
Swinging in space.
That would be sweet. I would pay money to see that film. Not much, but I would pay money.
Low amount.
I'll give
$1.
5 cents to crowdfunding.
I'd go see it at the drive-in for sure. I was going to say drive-through. I'd see it at the drive-through. If it played on the little screen at McDonald's, the one you order from, I'd go and see it.
Nice.
Sir, you can order? Hold on, this is the best part.
I'm just here for the movie.
They're going to need a bigger ship.
We need some water.
Oh, man.
Choosing that particular trailer, that's how the trailer was made. It was half of the entire trailer is just slow crawl of the word alien popping up on the screen with the stars in the background and a planet. And then it kind of has quick cuts of all kinds of crazy shit that's going on. Never shows the alien, never shows the xenomorph. It's just madness that's going on. And then it ramps up to a lot of like intensity, that weird screeching in the background.
It's the siren.
Yep.
Most people probably know that from Prometheus and the Prometheus trailer because mm-hmm. it was played up. It's the same. Yeah, but it's played up so much more in that movie than it actually was in Alien.
Yeah, which I don't. Did either of those films have that noise in the movie?
Because
I don't think it wasn't in Prometheus. In the trailer.
No, I think it was in Alien though. I think there was a siren, but it's. I don't think it was.
I don't think so.
I don't think it was a frequent.
I don't think so.
I just watched it. I think. A few days ago when we were originally supposed to do this podcast, and I can't remember hearing that.
Yeah, I don't remember it. Like, it was just...
But that sound is played so much in the damn Prometheus trailer.
Yeah. It was like a motif that they'd done specifically for the trailer. It's fucking retarded. It's weird. But yeah, I mean, in that... The trailer itself, people often kind of just throw out trailers and just discredit them as being nothing more than just a quick preview. But when done right, it can be a perfect companion to the film. And I think the Alien trailer is one of those because this trailer itself kind of feels like the film. It starts off dark and quiet, and it's a slow burn, and it starts off with audio things and audio like abnormalities, and then it starts into more visuals before you know it, and then it just kind of crescendos into a big explosion of both. So it's just it was an interesting choice, just aesthetically and audibly, to have a trailer that looked and sounded like that when it could have just been in the year 2349 or whatever fucking year it was, where they could have just talked about it. And that was the thing in the 70s, all trailers had the fucking trailer guy. Like, that's kind of where the whole trailer thing came from, is trailer guy is from the 70s. They always did voiceovers in a world, like, that's how all of them were. So it was interesting that they decided, whoever made that choice. What?
He's trying to find that sound during the self-destruct.
That's the sound. That's the alarm. That's the self-destruct alarm.
Yeah, but it's not the other one, right, from the trailer.
Exactly.
It might have just been slowed down.
But and pitched high up or something? And no, I think it's just a completely different thing. It seems like it was a complete, like directorial choice to have a trailer that's completely unique.
They did reuse it too, and
that's not the sound either. No. That's also not the sound.
No, but there's in Alien Isolation. I know what the fucking sound is.
Jesus Christ. Next time you have sex with your woman, you just need
to... Oh, man.
Something I'm just reading while Billy wastes time looking for it, because I'm really high percentile sure that it's not in the film.
Makes two of us. but he will fucking go until he's proven wrong by himself.
Jerry Goldsmith, who was the composer for the score, actually got screwed, and they didn't use what he scored for it. They used his music from another movie, Freud. And it actually got nominated for a Golden Globe and a Grammy for that music, but that wasn't the music that he originally scored for.
So
Alien.
The score that ended up in the theatrical cut ended up getting an Academy Award or a Grammy or something?
It was for the specific ending. It doesn't say how much of the film was his, and then for originally scored for that, and then scored for that other movie.
Okay.
They did say the ending was used from another movie that he had scored.
That's interesting.
And then it was,
so he got credit.
And then
from
the score for the whole film, though, was nominated for a Golden Globe, a BAFTA, and a Grammy Award.
Oh, no shit! Well, and I think that.
So I'm wondering if, since that conflicting stuff, maybe that was something that he originally scored.
That's a good point.
And then
that's a good point.
They said fuck that, because editor Terry Rawlings didn't agree with a lot of his musical choices.
That's a good point. And you got to think, I mean, they'll create a trailer and push it out a year before the film is actually cut.
Yeah.
And it'll be completely different a lot of times. Like, they'll even use different scenes. So that is a possibility, maybe.
No, because, I mean, you got to figure that...
If anybody knows, let us know, because that's interesting.
The companies have hours, you know, upon hours of banked music that they're, you know, they're trying to recycle, that they can put in.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they've already wasted the money to make those scores, so that, hey, you know, we can probably put this in Frozen.
In Frozen? The movie Frozen? Disney's Frozen? Okay.
Disney's Frozen.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, but it's a horror theme. I don't care.
I don't give a shit. Fuck it.
But,
that's
a
possibility, though. I mean, and it just threw it out, so, which is funny, too, that it did so well, because I know Aliens that came out, 7 years later, that ending theme, Bishop's Escape or whatever, that became like one of the most like iconic like action themes of all time, and people still use that in trailers today. No, Billy.
It's not it. You suck so bad at this.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, that was, like I said, going back to the trailer thing, it was kind of interesting that they kind of went that route with it, but the main focal point of that original trailer is the egg. That's where it all begins, is the egg itself. And
which starts your sexual journey.
Yes. So before we kind of go into an analysis of it, Macaulay, why don't you give us a quick synopsis of the film Alien here?
Alien basically breaks down a salvage crew bringing home, I think, what is it, like 4 billion?
20.
Some huge amount of...
20 million.
Yeah. Of tons of ore or something.
Are you fucking with him or?
No, it's 20 million.
I don't remember. It's quite a large number. They're bringing back salvage crew.
20 million tons. I mean, that's unfathomable, you know, that kind of puts...
Well, it's in space. It's not like it's hard to move.
No, but once they get back into a, you know, into some type of gravitational, you know...
Okay, tangent man. We don't really care how they're processing the ore.
We could talk 10 minutes about the science of how much...
How are they going to get it down on
the logistics
planet?
Just do not make sense.
I'm not even thinking about them having a processing station in space.
20 million tons is... a lot of fucking weight. So
you turn into a truck driver right now. You realize that you literally just brought your work home with you. There's not enough pallets in the world that could have done this.
I'm not bringing my previous job into it. I pulled a hell of a lot more weight than you did. Anyways,
I pulled a hell of a lot more weight in my last relationship.
I was just getting to the point where showing the enormity of the ship itself.
Yes,
yeah, it is pretty
extremely massive.
So yes, continue.
Waking from there. Cryo state or cryo sleep, whatever they use for their long-term transportation, by the ship's computer named Mother.
Did they make Ripley go to sleep first?
And they went to sleep after a little, yeah.
Continue.
Waking, they hear a distress beacon I guess it's uncharted planet. They do have it listed as LV-426. But
did
they
find it? Is it uninhabited? Like, they don't think there's life force on it, right?
Yeah, but it doesn't say if they've pre-checked it out or not.
Okay.
That I can remember, but it is at least a named planet in a named or known system.
Yeah.
And they go down to check it out, and things go to shit.
Yes.
They discover a whole giant room of the eggs. Luckily, for whatever unknown reason, only one of them comes out instead of taking out everybody. But only one facehugger comes out. And then an actual kind of discussed topic or scene, since it later on find out that the xenomorph has acid blood. But the facehugger is somehow able to excrete it because it melts through his spacesuit helmet.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of...
It bursts through it and, like, yeah...
It seems to be able to excrete the blood around its skin or pores or whatever because the acid melt is perfectly shaped to the face hugger.
Yeah.
So they get infected or a contagion.
The crew member turns into a host, essentially.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah, basically.
And
pours its load down.
After that is just them trying to fight this hostile species that they reluctantly brought onto the ship. If everyone would have just fucking listened to protocol, Ripley's in charge saying, no, you can't bring him onto the ship. We don't know what the fuck that is or what else it's going to do. They would have been good, but human nature and compassion causes everyone else to fucking die. So
I don't know where he is.
Lesson of the day.
He went for a walk and he never came back.
Stop fucking caring.
Simple as that.
In a weird twist, and it's kind of reminiscent of 2001: A Space Odyssey, where Hal towards the end acts more like a human, and the humans act more machine-like. Kind of the same thing happens. Ripley kind of becomes much more monotonous and much more SOP and by the book, in that she wants to keep it contained. She doesn't want it to enter the ship because the possibility it can contaminate everybody.
She's smart.
Whereas,
attention.
Huh?
Because she's smart.
She paid attention
exactly.
During training.
Whereas there's another crew member who we come to find out is actually an android who is a robot, essentially. He is acting much more compassionate and saying, no, let him in. We want to take care of him and things like that. Come to find out he has his own agenda, and he's doing it for the purposes that the company that programmed him
wanted to fish for alien life form.
To retrieve some sort of alien specimen. Mm-hmm. And the crew is completely expendable.
So, yeah, I mean, I don't know if I've ever seen anybody really kind of make the connection with 2001, but it kind of seems like that's I don't know if it was intentional or not, but that kind of seems like it was a homage to that.
I was
going to
say the lulls throughout the movie were very 2001, like just the panning shots and stuff.
Oh, yeah,
and
yeah,
the,
yeah.
You know,
absolutely.
Just
yeah, Ridley Scott took a lot of inspiration in the way he set up his shots, and a lot of slow panning and things like that were very, very Kubrickian for
sure. You're kind of getting a tour of the ship.
Yep.
You know.
Yeah, that was establishing shots like of the ship and of Mother, like the control room and things like that. We're very Kubrickian. Like he, you could tell that he definitely watched 2001 a lot.
So it's my favorite movie. Can we have it with aliens?
Yep. So
I would like aliens, please.
Yeah. So how does it end? What the fuck ends up happening?
Basic shit. Ending of fucking
all shit.
Everything's died. Everything's fucking destroyed, and you're left with a almost naked Sigourney Weaver.
Almost naked.
Game over, man.
and the orange tabby cat, the only two things that survive.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
What was that? The two pussies. Alien in Alien, where when the guy dies when he's looking for the cat, and the alien gets him.
Yeah, that's part one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Did the cat lick the blood? Or
no.
Was that a different movie?
No, thinking of? That's something else.
There was something that I remember where
basically,
the cat was like...
Basically, it just shows a cutscene over to the cat's face,
yeah.
Hissing.
He's like
it notices something.
It's a really cool shot, too.
Yeah,
like, of
the
lighting, like,
awesome.
Yeah, it's a really cool shot.
If you notice also in that movie, that's the only shot in the film that has a different lighting and coloring scene than the entire rest of the movie. There's a lot of orange and rust colors, almost natural lighting. It's really weird to have such... strong lighting from the ceiling.
Yeah, because it's a shot of the, like, it's just an endless, like, you see swinging chains and there's water dripping down.
Yeah, and it's a really, really cool mood in the shot. It doesn't necessarily make sense in the layout of
it's
interstellar
a storage
spaceship.
Yeah, it's, yeah. It's a storage. I mean, there's crates and shit in there. And
the, yeah, it's just kind of an interesting thing that scene, which is the... establishment of, hey, this little alien that we saw, you know, basically shed its skin and fucking stuff stepped up. We got a much more serious situation.
Yeah, yeah.
The color tone of that scene is so different than every other part of the movie.
Yeah.
It's so much more reds and oranges, where the rest of the movie is very, especially of that time, typical whites and grays.
Why do you think that is?
I think it was made more to elevate the, like I said, the increase in intensity or seriousness of what was going to happen. Because up until that point in the film, you had the two scares, mainly of the face hugger attaching onto him, and then the chest
burster. Sure.
So you had those two scares, but you were kind of like, oh well. You know, I think we can be okay. You
well,
know, that was just
went,
a little.
Like, there was a lot of like clean rooms. You know, kind of like bright white lights.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly.
Emphasis. You know, everything is cool and everything. And then now you get into this where the alien's grown up and now everything's.
It was like
dark
a foreshadowing
and flashing
of,
lights.
Oh, okay,
are going
shit
off
just
and,
shit just changed. Shit just got real. It was definitely a foreshadowing with the lighting and the room. Why there's this storage room in space that's dripping water from the ceiling.
Like how,
and,
but
and
is there a leak
to,
somewhere?
And he wants to drink it. Like, a lot of the stuff, it kind of seems weird in retrospect, but it helped establish the mood change very well.
Yeah, well, damp and wet is scary, I guess.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, essentially the film, it is a film about the encountering of what they call a perfect specimen, a perfect creature.
I don't know if they had intention, like if you're going out towards like the Prometheus thing where, you know, the perfect.
Not in the creator sense, but in that it's not,
like a perfect
it doesn't have logic.
Like,
it's bred and created for just one purpose, and that's feeding and dying. So, and reproducing. So that's what they mean about, and they put a lot of emphasis on the whole idea of reproduction. Like that is the plot of Alien in a nutshell. I mean, Aliens, the sequel kind of goes into the, you know, enemy territory. You're underestimating the power of numbers and the tribalistic nature of certain species or different things. But the first one is very much a film about the de-evolution and things of just going back to the basics and how before humans existed, there was a lot of primal, just very bare bones, not necessarily, I wouldn't say assassin, but what would be a good word for it?
Just a predator.
I mean, I hate to use the word predator because
it's a predator.
No, but, exactly. But it's basically like, if you look at, you know, like humans back, you know, in, you know, Neanderthals or whatever, you were
back in the 60s.
you were hunter gatherer, whatever.
Also known as Republicans.
you basically fought to survive. Like everything was just, you know, you know that if you didn't eat food, you were probably going to go hungry and die. So
yep.
That's what you did. That was your job.
Right.
You go out, you kill something.
You
or
fuck,
whatever.
You eat, you die.
Yeah. That's essentially what, you know, the
that's
aliens
all I do
are.
Now.
They don't I mean, it definitely had a lot of remnants like I would say like Jurassic Park probably pulled a lot off like with the raptors, you know. Uh-huh. they kind of remind me of a little bit like the xenomorphs, you know. They adapt over time, they learn their environments, they start you know, using their environments to their advantage, you know, and hiding.
Very basic but very specialized.
Yeah.
And like I said, efficient. And
efficient is an excellent word for it. Yep, yeah, efficient. Because they are efficient killers. They're quiet. They're smart. They use the environment. This is an animal that has never once been on this ship, but they are able to outsmart the entire crew by going through the rafters and going through corridors and things. Exactly.
Was it in Aliens? The scene where it was in the wall.
They're coming out of the goddamn walls.
was that where?
Yeah, that was like, that was in the sequels. Yeah, just highlighting just some more of their tactics or their abilities.
Yeah, they blend in with their environments. You know.
Well, and as we see back to that same scene with the color change, its first kill is very very stealthy from the roof coming down and sucking back up out of nowhere. Where in a lot of horror films, it's kind of a human nature to not look up because you don't. In our food chain, there's nothing that attacks us from fucking above. We don't give a shit about it.
We wouldn't even think about it.
But another thing too.
Well, even Dallas is—he's going through the ventilation system, and they're trying to track down, and they're catching these, you know, this radar from all over the place. All of a sudden, it just stops, and he's in this ventilation system, and then he turns around, and bam, it's right there. So the fact—I mean, this thing's probably a few thousand pounds already, and the fact that it's able
the alien. He's like, what, five foot something?
The alien? No.
Yeah, he's not that big.
No, he's fucking gigantic. Even the actor that they got to play him was like
seven and a half feet.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but I mean,
when it gets fully erect, it runs around. Yeah.
Yeah.
It runs around
like on
primarily on all fours.
Yeah, that keeps the stealth. I mean, if he was a big clunky alien, you know, that
but when he attacks Veronica Cartwright's character, like he stands
up
and
you come up.
Yeah, she's definitely looking.
But yeah, I would say
it's a huge beast, but it's quiet, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know about what I would estimate its weight at.
Yeah. I mean, I like the queen.
Queen, that's
a big
fucking
bitch.
Crazy, huge bitch.
That a huge bitch. But
I would probably estimate it. The other thing that you have to take into consideration is its biology because of the acid blood, so it has to have some sort of...
It's more dense.
Yeah, some sort of exoskeleton, more like...
It could be a little bit lighter, but it's also
but still, like,
thick.
They,
it's hard
I mean,
to penetrate.
Yeah,
well,
yeah.
They were able to shoot
like
it.
Like
an ant.
It's like a type of armor.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, but I'm saying bullets penetrate it, you know,
but
obviously.
I would probably say it would be in the realm of 300 to 500 pounds.
Yeah, so like
just
a big guy.
Yeah,
you know, like
something big
really
guy.
Huge. Big guy.
Big motherfucker.
An interesting thing about the blood that I was just reading because people were theorizing and writing other stuff was that it acts like the acid in a normal battery. So the xenomorphs have no need to actually eat or anything. They're
almost
like a biological battery that just has a purpose.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's
just
not something that they're killing. They're just...
No, I mean,
in a sense, it's very much like a zombie.
They're killing for no purpose. Well, even the zombie has
the sport
to eat.
Yeah, whether it's for the sport or whatever reason that it is, if you want to dictate their evolution of how they got to that, some things that were theorized that they were made by some other race to be a weapon, which would also help that, you know, it's just a battery fucking thing. We just turn it on and let it loose kind of thing.
Yeah.
Like but that also helps show like how those eggs can stay functional for such a long period of time.
Yeah, they went dormant or whatnot. That's
we don't know how long they were sitting there.
If you have a frozen like a frozen virus or something and you defrosted it, you know, and
It's still gonna
fucking go.
It has no need to eat or anything, but it can reproduce and fuck shit up. So that was another cool idea because they did say something kind of stupid in it. about calling it a molecular acid, which is not a thing.
It's not even like a fake thing.
It's like saying that everything's made out of molecules and this is acid, so it's molecular acid.
Yeah, they just kind of made a way to make it sound. Yeah. I think it's important. We got to move into the whole sexual aspect of it and how this would be considered
penis.
A sex thing. I mean, the first, of course, the most blatant is H.R. Giger's participation in creating the alien. It was obviously a very phallic alien, you know, from the head. Yeah, exactly. And even more so, his original artwork looked even more so.
Yeah, his original stuff.
He had a lot of women bodies and with alien heads and... extremely sexual,
And then if you see any of the close-ups of the face hugger's appendage,
it looks like a vagina, a
complete vagina.
yeah, and
that gets shoved down your throat.
That's the thing. I mean, going to the fact that it's a reproduction thing, because if you think about the movie Predators, they're just there. You know, they could have made aliens that always existed. They chose to make it a story from conception, literally the egg.
Yeah, you don't necessarily know where the predators came from. They were an intelligent primitive race.
Yep.
You know,
but there wasn't any sort of desire to talk about the reproductive cycle of a predator. No, that was
I don't know
a
if you'd
distinct
want to see that.
Choice. Yeah. Well, I just want
making out.
I just want to see a little toddler,
a child,
little toddler
throwing a tantrum with its face flaps.
God damn, I'm gonna fucking blow myself up again.
Now this is how you use your self-destruction device.
Yeah, so, I think it was one of the first times in a sci-fi film that they actually showed the complete life cycle of an alien.
Yeah.
It wasn't just something like, oh, we met an intelligent alien, or we got this kind of
alien
infection.
Just about every movie, too. Every one of the alien, even Alien versus Predator, you had from egg, you know, to facehugger.
It always goes through the entire life cycle in every movie.
Yeah. So, I mean, and starting with the facehugger itself, obviously looking at it, it resembles a vagina
with long fingers.
Yeah, and I mean the way it impregnates its host is it shoves itself down your throat. It just shoves it, which I mean let's be honest, we all kind of have a fear of being suffocated in that sense. Like, no,
ladies, you're not gonna get pregnant that way.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, which I think is the reason why most women don't like sucking the dick.
Cool.
it's just like this evolutionary
I've never
fear
met any of, those.
Of things. Yeah.
I just heard one of the stupid comments that people write on shit.
Like what?
There was a girl that said that she said, I didn't want to get pregnant, so I swallowed 3 condoms just to be sure.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Or sorry, I want to marry her. So,
wow.
And I mean, so yeah, coming out, obviously, from the minute the thing bursts from a chest, it looks very phallic, of course. Yeah.
Well,
it ends up being the head.
Giving birth, you know, it's in the chest, you know, little, you know.
So, and I mean, from that point on, they kind of could have just ended it. They could have just left it at that, you know, just let it grow and things. But the way things were shot was very suggestive. So, going back, like Veronica Cartwright's character, there was no need for the alien to seduce her with its tail right in between her legs. Like, it just, the xenomorph just takes its tail and slowly goes in between your legs.
Between the legs, yeah.
Yep.
Definitely done with sexual intent.
Uh huh.
Absolutely.
Horny director.
Yeah. And why does there have to be a penis inside the mouth that sticks out and comes out?
That shoots out.
So.
And dripping wet.
Yeah. I mean, it kind of plays on. Yeah.
It's dripping, too.
Oh shit!
And in reality, and in reality, they used a shitload of KY jelly for that. That's what they used. The drool was all just KY.
The drool was KY. So that's interesting. That's good to know. Yeah, it doesn't just end there. That's not where it stops. When you think about, I mean. There's been debate about how it's about like rape culture. It's how it's about birth trauma. And I mean, there's a case to be made for a lot of that, even going so far as to the fact, you know, the whole being scared of the womb and motherhood in general, because the way that they come out of the cryostasis, you know, it's very much like kind of like in a womb area. They are kind of coming out.
Mother, like the name of the ship's computer is Mother.
The control. Like, yeah, because it's calm, it's serene. Every time anybody's in there, it's very quiet.
Warmly lit.
Oh, hey, y'all.
You can continue. And oh, just okay, yeah. Volume off on
okay. So yeah, it goes to a lot of, it plays up a lot of fears of, I don't know, necessarily possibly motherhood in that sense, the fear of getting pregnant in general, or maybe the fear of getting pregnant without wanting to.
I don't want that.
It's true. I mean,
did you see the movie Alien? I don't want that.
I don't want that just don't want that for me. So it could literally go back to the fears of not forced pregnancy, like. You know, because then these people have the choice.
It's reverse
rape. Yeah, they're not choosing to impregnate themselves in the attempts to advance research and shit like that. It just happens forcefully without them fucking wanting to. And the facehugger attacks them and goes for their mouth and shit like that. So, Ash, the android, tries to kill Ripley by literally shoving a fucking piece of paper.
Phallic-shaped device down her throat.
He could have done anything. He could have just choked her. He could have punched her in the temple. He could have kicked her in the cooter. Like, he could have done anything.
You don't know what his capabilities were.
He took the time to roll a fucking piece of People magazine up.
He was strong enough.
He took the New York Times.
To grip her hair. Yeah. A full handful of grip, and she pulled away, and his arm didn't even flex.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
but that also shows, you know,
he could have snapped her neck in a second.
Yeah.
He was still, you know, learning too. Like, he probably wasn't programmed essentially to kill somebody.
Yeah, or it would have been difficult though.
Or his AI was advanced enough, and this is always a case that I've thought, because they make the statement he's a goddamn robot. They didn't know that he was even an android. So he had to have been advanced enough to seem real and seem human. So
maybe he was just trying to stop her.
Maybe he was just enjoying it. Maybe it was something that was the AI was programmed into him so well that he could actually get some pleasure out of it, and maybe that's why he shoved
he does make a weird face too when he does it. It's not necessarily like a euphoric face, but
just the actor himself.
I mean,
you know,
it's possible, but
he made a stupid face
when
they killed him too, like when his head was off on the table. I don't know. They did something to him, and his head just looked with a stupid expression on it. So something like that.
But and it
really,
was
really good cast mold of his head, though.
It was some pretty decent cast. I mean, you could see the cut pretty good.
Yeah.
But
I'm saying the
a lot of fucking milk.
The scene of his the scene with his head
on
the table because they put the actor back there when he was talking to him.
Yeah.
You know, they put his head under the table or whatever. But when they did the cut scene to when they were gonna burn him and whatnot, or that came later. But when they did something to his head or whatever, but they went back to the cast of it, and it looked really good. Just had that frozen face.
It was
on
a
there.
Very difficult. I mean, it had taken damage. It was covered in the hydraulic fluid or whatever it was supposed to be that was inside of him.
Hydraulic milk.
Yeah,
milk it was.
Yeah.
It was whole milk, let's be honest.
That attempted murder did take place in the... Which was it? Were they supposed to be the individual rooms? They were just kind of like little cubbies. They didn't have any partitions putting it off. But that room was specifically covered with a lot of pornography.
Yeah.
A lot of naked titties.
And a random picture of eggs. No, eggs.
Yeah, and some eggs.
Actual,
really
like chicken eggs.
Huh. Emphasizing eggs. Symbolism of the aliens' eggs and sexualism.
Yeah. I mean, what the fuck? Like, you would think some things can be arbitrary, like, and they just happen. I'm not one to, like, a lot of people, especially with Kubrick, just think that everything he fucking did, every second that he devoted to celluloid was 100% intentional. And I'm not stupid enough to think that. That's impossible. No. Nobody is that meticulous to the point where they are against or impervious to imperfection.
Yeah.
So
our level of creativity that we can imagine and tie things together, I mean, just look at fucking conspiracy theorists.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can connect dots.
Yeah, but any director can go back and be like, "Oh yeah, that's exactly what I was trying to do." That's it.
Yeah. But when you see a picture of hard-boiled eggs in a film that's very, very blatant about eggs,
just liked eggs.
But why the fuck would you have that mixed in with porn?
A bunch of naked topless chicks?
Why?
Those eggs look like titties.
Yeah.
Tell you what. But no, I mean, it could have been intentional, or it could have been unintentional. You know, it's
There was just an ad for Eggland's Best in Playboy, and while they were cutting
out
pictures,
time, they're like, "Look, we don't got time."
Ah, fuck! I already cut it out. Yep. It's going up on the wall.
Yep, we got no extras. We're fucked. Just do
oh,
it,
man.
Put it up there, Dave. So, yeah, and I think even just going towards the end of the film, where you know things kind of die down, Sigourney's kind of settling in, she's taking off her clothes so she can kind of get comfortable, and then she accidentally runs into a dormant xenomorph, which could have been sleeping in any position in the fucking planet, but it's sitting with its head out, completely lit,
blending
with,
in,
yeah, but just
with
its,
the other shapes of the pipes,
yeah, but the way it's shaped, and it, all of a sudden it kind of falls out and it picks itself up, and there's strobe lighting effects that's lighting only the head, and it looks totally like a dick. Completely like a yes. dick. Like it's completely like unmistakable that it was for anything else. And it could have been shot in any different way. It could have shot from every different angle, but it was that was intentional in that aspect. So they were doing it till the very end of showing it. And by that time they had already showed the alien, like full fledged, from top to bottom. So there wasn't a need to focus on any one part of it because they had already discussed it. They had already showed everything. So there wasn't any, you know, desire to do anything different with that. But then we get to the end of the film. So how does the ending happen there, Maclack? What the fuck happens?
Well, like you said, once she awakens the dormant xenomorph, which
dormant
should be, I mean, given what we've seen, should be the same, the only one. It's just, it got onto that part of the ship and decided
it's
to take
like
a nap.
It's like an escape
pod,
wasn't it?
Yeah, and decided to take a nap in some pipes somehow.
He's tired.
I don't make the rules.
I don't care. Maybe he needed to recharge his battery blood.
His battery.
There was a USB plug over there. That's the only USB plug.
He's like, am I too late for the party?
Yeah, got some AC current.
Ripley, thinking that she had escaped the creature, separated the pod from the ship after starting the self-destruct system.
Yep.
With the intent of destroying it. Everybody else was already dead at this point, and she's the only one. She actually had kind of found the cat, which was just another thing, and then discovers the hibernating xenomorph and figures out she's got to do something. Luckily, it is really coming out of a state of hibernation. It's very sluggish and slow. She's able to get into some spacesuits and blow open an emergency hatch of some kind.
She straps herself down to where she can't move.
Luckily, she's got a grappling gun for some reason in the escape pod.
We need a grappling gun in space.
We call that the Deus Ex Machina gun.
Yeah. So when the alien gets sucked out, it's actually strong enough, the xenomorph is strong enough to hold on and resist that vacuum of space.
Yeah, which says that's a pretty damn strong freaking creature if it's enough to do that.
So she shoots it with a grappling gun, closes it, and it's still alive. And she's able to actually ignite the ship's engines and burn it.
Plays into thrusters. The body of the alien, saying that it can breathe anywhere.
Another thing.
It didn't
going
die
off
instantly
of it was,
or anything.
It was running off of its biological batteries. That it doesn't matter where it's at if it's got air or not. It doesn't need any of that stuff.
And it totally gave you that fuck, will this thing not go away moment?
Mm-hmm.
You know, when
showing,
it came
showcasing
out and
came
back.
The really hardcore resilience of it.
Until you see her blow it to shit. Yeah. And with the fucking thrusters, it just blows it to all hell. And then, I mean, the film ends exactly how it started, with her sleeping
in
the cryo chamber.
Yeah.
Which they have an unnaturally long camera hang on there of just her sleeping, so it's kind of another womb type thing, but
you know. And that whole scene building up before she got into it was very sexual, very focusing on her stripping down, her panties.
Best scene of the movie.
Her panties sagging a little bit, even seeing
you see your butt crack.
They were definitely not the right size.
Yeah, you see your butt crack, and you see Maclack Bush. You see his. You see his beard in her,
a little bit
in her between her legs,
covering the camel toe.
Yeah,
she's not wearing a bra. Hard nipples.
Yeah.
I mean, very emphasizing.
In space, you don't need a bra.
No,
it's very uplifting up
in
there.
In space, no one can hear your teat.
There's no gravity for a sagging.
Like, no one would need fucking breast implants in space. Like, they would all just perk up like they're Nazis.
They would have to. And then, as soon as you landed on a planet, it's like,
they just sag right down to your fucking kneecaps.
They didn't have any resistance built up their whole life, so now it's just, oh, fuck, those are by my belly button.
Yeah, yeah. I think one day we'll probably go into Aliens and the impact that even that film, James Cameron's. I'm not telling him shit.
I think we would need to.
Huh?
I think we would need to discuss that film.
I even want to discuss Aliens, Alien 3.
Why?
Because
it never happened.
It did.
It never happened.
It did. It did happen.
I don't know what you're talking about. I have no idea.
It's David Fincher's lost film. But anyways, that's a discussion in and of itself because it was such a fucked up production. Anyways, what were you going to say?
Now going off of that, because Aliens 2 or Aliens was...
There was an Alien 2 in Italy. It was a fucking... it was an unlicensed sequel.
There's also a Jaws 5.
Yep, exactly. But,
Alien or... Aliens.
So. Aliens, the sequel.
I'm saying, I'm asking you.
Which you prefer?
Prefer
as which one I enjoy. Because,
I mean, one's blatantly a
psychological
thriller.
They're in different genres for
one's
me.
One's an action movie.
Yeah, one's absolutely in different genres for me.
But there's I was just having this discussion with Joe, and he basically shunned off Alien. And he's all about Aliens, so that's kind of, everyone has their
favorite.
Also
listens to Bauhaus, so what is that? There's no accounting for taste, so. Yeah.
But
he's kind of guy who has a favorite font.
And it's Comic Sans.
But, no, I mean, it goes off of a lot of things, what do you prefer? That will kind of take your
that's your favorite kid right there.
Yeah, I personally prefer Alien. I like the tension of it more so than an action movie. Like I said, they're in two different genres to me. I could see them as separate, unrelated movies.
Yeah.
If you did a little bit of creature design and changed it a little bit, I could see them doing very well and being very successful separate movies. They did.
Aliens
have, they
was
did
Platoon in space.
Yeah, exactly. You have Jaws in space and then Platoon
instead
in space.
Instead of the Viet Cong, we have Aliens.
Yeah. Viet Dongs.
I liked
the Viet Dongs.
Got him.
I loved the tension though of the first one, and the I guess you could say the singularity of the xenomorph being by itself and still fucking up an entire crew worth of people.
Yeah, just one.
I mean, they were able to make a pretty. Not only were they able to make the sensor to try to track its movements, and then make a pretty badass flamethrower, and still get completely owned, even though they thought they had outsmarted it. The sequel, to me, felt like they dumbed the xenomorphs down a little bit and just compensated with sheer numbers flooding in. And I liked the...
They weren't intelligent.
Yeah,
they
liked...
They were just brute force.
They also didn't have the the time it had to build up in the movie Alien, where the xenomorph was actually going around the ship.
They didn't have the time to build up.
No,
they've been on the planet and killed all of the colonists for
a
long time.
Yeah, they were probably because they had to get the facehuggers out and basically do the whole process. I mean, there was obviously aliens already made, but throughout the movie, there was more obviously. So they killed off some and then build up.
Aliens takes place 80 years later though, doesn't it?
No. Sigourney Weaver's going back.
No, I thought. No, Aliens.
Aliens is. I don't think it's 80 years.
I thought it was a number of decades later because they had her frozen and they brought her. They brought her out of stasis. I could be wrong. Well, does that answer your question? Obviously, it sounds like Aliens is your preference.
Mine?
Yeah.
No, I'm actually. I don't have that much of a preference on it. As far as I go, they're all decent movies. I like the Aliens franchise.
They're both good. It's a good franchise.
Yeah,
but
I fall towards the Predator side. They tie them
expanding even out of the universe, into the universe, but even out of that specific franchise even more.
I mean, they're both good movies. Alien was a little slow. It definitely. Sure. It was like get to the fucking
by design.
King Kong get to the fucking monkey.
57 years.
57. Okay.
57
years. So Sigourney Weaver was old as fuck.
No, she was frozen.
Cryostasis.
Yeah.
Which I mean, she still looks the same now. So she's been fucking.
Yeah, she does.
She's been bathing in someone's blood,
similar.
Or.
But how about you?
What's my preference?
Yeah.
I can't have a preference because I do classify them as two completely different. Like, what with Alien, it's I think it's a better shot film.
Aliens was more feel good.
No, don't. Alien, it's better shot. It's better acted. It's much more room for discussion and critical analysis, and there's a lot more thought provoking that goes in. Plus, I like movies that are slow burns. So in that sense, but when I watch Aliens, I just have a good fucking time watching it. It's just a good action film. It's
fun.
It's fucking awesome. Like, yeah. It's a great popcorn flick. It still holds up with some of the best action films even today. So,
absolutely.
But you know, it's meant to be. I look at Alien as the sophisticated, smarter older brother, and then there's the steroid ridden younger brother.
Yeah. Hey, let's go fuck.
Yeah. So. It was just a much more balls to the wall film. So I put them in two completely different categories because I almost label them different genres, like horror and action. So I can't pick which one or the other. So I won't do it.
Oh, God. I just won't do it.
They rank separately high in their perspective genres. Yeah.
I mean, there's obviously better action movies, versus Alien or Aliens.
Not a lot.
No, there's
Aliens is probably one of my top five favorite action films of all time. I was telling Billy earlier when we went to go see it at the Egyptian Theater, like seeing Aliens in the theater was so fucking amazing. Like
it was very fun.
It was great. God, it was good.
A little side fact that we learned when we went and saw that double feature was the Egyptian Theater in Hollywood was a big premiere site. They actually had the space jockey there out front,
yes,
and some asshole burned it down after like the first day.
What the fuck?
But that I believe they even said that was the original, that was the film used one.
Yeah, there was.
That some asshole,
one of the props.
Yeah, some asshole burned down, and that would have been cool. And that was a very interesting choice because it has like 30 seconds of screen time,
yeah,
and it's not even called the space, you don't even know what it's called,
nope,
or any details about it. So it's a very interesting prop choice to
That's
be
your
there.
Your first introduction to the.
Yeah,
what are they called? The
space jockeys?
No, the people, the fucking the
they're called space jockeys. The engineers.
Yeah.
They were called at that time up until Prometheus. They
space
were called
jockeys.
Space jockeys.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That was the introduction of them. You know.
Yeah,
to them,
absolutely.
So.
Yeah, that's. So. I mean, I don't know if we'd ever discuss Prometheus in that sense,
good.
But. I honestly think it's underrated. I think it's.
I agree. I very enjoy it.
If you don't, but see, it's a thing. Like if you don't put it up there,
everyone went
in the
there
same
expecting
genre
to see Alien. You know, everyone wanted to go see. You know, when's the Xenomorph gonna come?
Yeah, but if you treat it, it's as different from Aliens as Alien was.
And that's why they're calling part two Alien, whatever the fuck it is.
So, and I think, and it's already been announced that is going to be the perfect marriage of Alien and Prometheus. So they are going to basically create what everyone's expectation for Prometheus was in the new Alien film. We'll look for that. But I wasn't expecting much with Prometheus in that sense.
I took it as an aside that just happened to be in the same universe.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And
like Predator.
I think that's what made it a more enjoyable film for me because I looked at it from that sense. Exactly like you said, Predator.
Yeah.
In the very first Predator, you don't even know that they're in the same universe. It's not until Predators with Danny Glover
when he goes
onto the ship and you see the skull.
Yeah.
Which
I think it was a throwaway Easter egg and it became something else. Unless it wasn't
it's
a comic
just
book
something
thing
that
for,
they did
comics,
because Predator wasn't this. It rode on the coattails of Aliens for success, and that kind of helped keep it alive.
Yeah. I mean, you're also talking that's, you know, Arnold Schwarzenegger's.
Because it kind of looked like they had
time, you know.
Yeah, it kind of looked like they almost had a skull from the one of the graboid skulls.
A graboid,
on the ship,
like
from
Tremors.
Oh.
Was that out yet already?
Tremors, I don't remember if Tremors was out when Part 2 came out. Predator 2, I don't remember.
Gary Busey.
But there's a lot of other skulls that...
The fuck? 1990, so Predators 2 came out, or Predator 2. Predator 2 is 1990.
So that
and Tremors was 1990.
Yeah, so yeah. we can look that up and see. I didn't notice that, so it'd be something I look at. But I think
and it
Predator
might just
2,
be me misremembering.
Predator 2 is probably my like the least watched of the sequels, even though it's a pretty fun film.
The first gang, Glover, the awesome. Gang, yeah, the gang fighting in the beginning is pretty fun. Yeah. And
but I like Prometheus in the same way I like Alien because it is a thought provoking movie. I mean, there's a lot of commentary. There's a lot of it begs a lot of analysis with the plot and all of the additional things. Whereas, let's face it, with Aliens, there was none to be had. If you could say a lot of things about James Cameron and James Cameron's career, but thought provoking is not one of them.
No.
Yeah, I mean, with the exception of the whole, you know, what would happen if machine took care of man, you know, there's not a lot of stuff that he adds to the table. And, you know, I don't know. He was a better version of Michael Bay, in my opinion, for a while. So I mean, that's why I still stand by Prometheus. And I think there were a lot of bad choices that they made. Like, I don't like the way that they had to dress up Waylon and how his makeup looked so fucking terrible. It looked
horrible.
Yeah.
It looked like Dan Aykroyd's character. fucking, you know what movie I'm talking about?
Oh, what is that movie with Demi Moore?
Yeah.
Oh,
and
shit.
Tom Hanks.
Nothing But Trouble.
Nothing But Trouble, yeah.
He did look like that.
Like that.
Holy shit. Just give him a bigger nose. He looked just like that. Uh-huh. Looked like Keith Richards looks like Hoggle.
Weird side note. I had a coworker when I worked at the railroad who looked exactly like that.
Did
and
he have
it freaked
penis,
me fucking
penis
out.
Nose?
It freaked me out when I worked
with
them.
Did you see the cut of that? Because it wasn't a penis nose.
What? No.
The nose on Dan Aykroyd?
Yeah, he takes it off, didn't he?
No. But I'm saying when Chevy Chase was in the wall watching him, he has it's basically like a butt nose. Okay, like it looks like a little like a butt with a line down there.
Okay. Yeah. Right.
But
right.
There was a scene where he was looking through, and Dan Aykroyd was kind of it looked like they were looking at each other, but he couldn't see Chevy Chase.
Mm-hmm.
And for like a second, he had to like shake it off because he had like it was a penis tip on the tip of his nose
going into the butt.
No, like. The tip of like
I got you.
Yeah, but and he like shook it off and it went back to normal.
Oh shit!
Yeah, no,
right before he pulled it off.
It's right there. It's a dick tip. It's exactly what it
is. Oh,
yeah.
Oh, let me see.
You can tell exactly.
Yeah.
That's
and then
a dick
and then
tip.
When
oh
you
my god, yeah, it is.
Yeah, yeah no, completely.
Shit.
And then
looks like an earthworm.
And then another
like a fat earthworm.
In other parts of the scene, it looks like it has an ass crack.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
It's the perfect combination of a dick and an ass.
There's certain scenes where like it's like what the fuck am I looking at?
Yeah.
You know, but that's
weird.
Kinda, but that movie, like seriously, that movie is one of those like gives you shudders. You know, like that's just a fucked up movie.
Yeah, it's just a weird, very forgotten about movie.
Yeah, definitely. You got Bobo and what's
the giant babies?
Yeah. Oh man, those are fucking disgusting. But yeah, I'm seeing that picture of the skulls right there. It kind of looks like the Tremor, but it's almost like a T-Rex head.
Yeah. Like, it's hard to tell.
There's a monster in Predators. The movie Predators, if you remember.
The 2010 movie?
Yeah, one with, what's his nuts from the piano? The piano?
The pianist.
Yeah. Jason Brody.
Yeah.
No.
Josh Brody?
No.
What the fuck is his name?
Oh.
I'm not going to look
Adrian
it up.
Adrian
Brody.
Yes. Thank you. Boom. Okay.
I'm not going to look it up.
No, in the movie Predators, the Predators
Topher
actually.
Grace, bro.
Yeah, Megan Topher Grace.
Venom.
No. Fuck that guy.
They actually
that guy
had,
plays the worst villains of all time.
Yeah.
They actually had dogs. Like, the Predators had, like, dog-like creatures.
Yeah.
And that kind of looks like something like that.
Maybe it was, like, a lost design that they wanted to bring back later.
But they said a lot of the skulls resemble creatures from the actual comic book. So they said that even the Xenomorph skull could actually be something else. But because of the resemblance,
they went
tied
with
it in,
it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I always thought that, too. To me, it always seemed like the Xenomorph had an exoskeleton.
Mm-hmm.
So it wouldn't have a skull that looked like that.
Yeah. Yeah
cool beans. Exactly. But, yeah, I mean, definitely things. I mean, they obviously the movies later on, you know, they get play from older movies. You know, they're going to say, hey, we can use that. And it'd be a great tie-in. You know, if they want to expand the universe a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So, which they obviously did.
Most def.
Most deaf.
Most deaf.
And that's Alien.
Yeah, yeah. Any last talks alien. on our sex trilogy?
That's Alien.
I think I want to put together a montage of all the best bits of the sex trilogy.
All of the
sex bits.
A super edit of all the really sex scenes and that.
Yeah.
That gay dancing
going from
pop gun
going from gash
ejaculation.
You got to do it to that music, yeah.
Going from the gash to the dance to the eggs.
There you go.
There's a lot of shit. Billy, any last words?
No.
Before I kill you.
No words. Yeah, I mean, like I said, I'm not that big of an Alien fan. You know, there's Star Trek and there's Star Wars and shit like that. You know, people have their likes and
people
dislikes.
Like good movies. People like bad movies. Billy goes Predator.
Hey, yeah. I'm more of a an action type fan when it comes to that sense. But
yeah.
No, I mean it's a decent watch.
And if you haven't seen it, and you can handle the slow burn, and
it pays off.
I appreciate it.
It does pay off.
It's something to watch, so. Especially if you got into the series later.
Yeah.
And maybe you've only watched Aliens or the AVP shit
and that's,
or any
that's
of that stuff.
The sad part is that people are gonna go like
we have a whole generation that's only gonna know the later movies.
Exactly. Well,
and then when they go back and watch Alien, they're not gonna appreciate it.
No.
Because they're gonna be like, oh, where's the Predator? Or where's the gigantic queen?
Why is there only
that's
one?
A showcase of
who the fuck is this old chicken
there?
Lack
thereof.
But I mean, you got to look at it too. That even though the xenomorph was, of course, the eponymous. I mean, it was the titular name of it. You know, Alien. It was a character study. I mean, it was about humans and it was about their struggle. So you go back and you're not rooting for the alien. You're rooting for the humans at that time.
Well,
so
Prometheus totally played into that as. The creation of man.
Yeah.
You know, that's
That's a different thing altogether.
Yeah.
So okay. Well, we want to thank you for joining us on that
thank
one.
Thank you for listening.
Yeah.
A little lengthy, but hopefully you enjoyed it. Hopefully it was at least entertaining. Please, like we said, like and share,
and even if you don't like it, just fucking
even
hit
if
the
you
button.
Don't like it, just like
contact
it.
Us.
Just like it and share it.
Give us criticisms. Tell us what you don't like. What you want to change. I'm sure we can take some. Aside segments and read some of those viewer comments can be or listener
definitely.
Comments can be pretty entertaining.
We can maybe
people
put a little
trash.
Section in there and kind of give people individual shout outs kind of saying question from so and so or suggestion from so and so.
Yeah, bring something up in a following cast or
definitely.
We could do some reminiscent casts in the future answering just strictly answering questions. Throw out some ideas.
Q&A
session. You guys have more brain power than ours combined.
Yeah, at least more than Billy's. We know that for sure. So I think the next, we'll kind of discuss it, but I think the next topic, we're going to have a guest on for the first time. We may go into what we're going to have as a cannibal trilogy. We're going to talk about a series of films that's going to be the cannibal film. So specifically Cannibal Ferox, The Green Inferno, and the most famous cannibal film, and easily one of the most controversial films that's ever come out. Dumb and Dumber 2. Cannibal Holocaust. So we plan to have a guest on for that one. That one's going to be a big, big podcast, much like our very first one. So look out for that. Hopefully we'll be filming that in the next few weeks. In the meantime, we hope to jump into some commentaries and just have some additional content for you guys.
Maybe some Let's Play videos.
Yep.
I know we're working on that.
Yep.
Capture card.
Definitely. So if you guys have any ideas on what you guys want us to do commentaries
send
over.
Send us some requests.
Yeah.
Maybe some underground horror-themed games that you've played that you haven't. I know I introduced Mike a lot to ones on Dreamcast. There was a lot of horror games on Dreamcast.
Even movies that we may not have heard of,
Something that you really enjoy that's really kind of out there, not very popular, let us know.
Yeah.
We'll definitely take a look at it, and it might end up on a podcast.
Yeah, our commentary style, at least if we go into commentaries of films, it's going to be very Mystery Science Theater. So it's going to we may have some instances where we talk seriously about the film that we're watching, but the most part, it's going to be
we're
going to
be drunk before the movie
we're
going to
be riffing like a motherfucker. So if there's something that you think you would enjoy us over and enjoy us listening to, and you would want to hear a full-length commentary of a film, shoot it our way. We're open to suggestions. So yeah, anything would be help. Just let us know. Give us some questions, some feedback. Anything would help. So, but in any event, this is Mike.
We're gonna have to put Billy on a catheter. But this has been Matt Black,
and I'm Billiam.
And this is the end of episode 5 of the Uncanny Valley podcast. We will see you next time.
Yeah.